Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Valiant Organics Limited Q4 FY22 earnings conference call hosted by Monarch Networth Capital. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during the conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Ms. Srishti Jain from Monarch Networth Capital. Thank you, and over to you, ma'am.
Thank you. Good evening, everyone. On behalf of Monarch Networth Capital, it is our pleasure to host the senior management of Valiant Organics. Today, we have with us Mr. Arvind Chheda, Managing Director of the company, and Mr. Mihir Shah, Senior Finance Manager. I would now request the management to provide their initial comments. Over to you, sir.
Thank you, Srishti. Good evening, everyone. It's my pleasure to welcome you all to our earnings conference call for the fourth quarter and the year ended FY 2022. Let me first thank all the participants joining us today and I hope everyone is keeping safe and well. In the interest of the participants joining us today who may not be familiar with our company and business, I'd like to give a brief overview of the company first. Valiant Organics Limited is a specialty chemicals manufacturer in India with a legacy of more than three decades. The company is a part of Aarti Group, which have other prominent companies like Aarti Drugs, Aarti Industries, Aarti Surfactants, et cetera. The company works across various chemical processes like chlorination, hydrogenation, ammonolysis, acetylation, sulfonation, methoxylation, amongst others. Some of the key manufactured products are para-chlorophenol, ortho-chlorophenol, 2,4-dichlorophenol, ortho-anisidine, para-anisidine, para-aminophenol, ortho-aminophenol, ortho-nitroanisole, para-nitroanisole, et cetera. These are the main products. Our products find downstream applications across various sectors such as agrochemicals, pharmaceutical, dyes and pigment industry, and veterinary drugs. Our entire strategy revolves around finding pockets of space in niche markets. This is something we have mastered over the years, and our dominance gets reflected as we have a significant market share in all our major chemistries where we operate. We have six integrated manufacturing facilities across Gujarat and Maharashtra. We have strong multi-year relationships with our clients in both domestic and international markets, some of which extend over decades back, thanks to our high-quality goods, innovative production capabilities, and invention-driven value-added products. In addition to our pan-India presence, the company also exports to the countries in Asia, Europe, and USA. We have an outstanding board comprising of highly qualified individuals along with an experienced management team. Our Group Chairman, Shri Chandrakant V. Gogri, is a stalwart in Indian chemical industry and the founder of the much sought-after Aarti Group of Industries. Our Chairman, Mr. Velji Gogri, is an IIT Mumbai graduate and has over 30 years experience working in this domain. All the board members, including myself, remain committed to the growth of Valiant future. With that, I would like to hand over the call to Mr. Mihir Shah, our Senior Finance Manager, to brief you on the financials and operational highlights for the quarter and the FY 2022 under review. Thank you. Over to Mihir.
Thank you, Arvind. Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this earnings call. I hope you had a chance to study our financials and earnings presentation, which we have uploaded on our website and exchanges. Let me start by briefing you on financial performance of the company on a consolidated basis for the fourth quarter and full year FY 2021-22. The revenues from operations grew by about 21% on quarter-on-quarter basis and around 49% on a year-on-year basis to around 348 crores. The EBITDA was about rupees 57 crores, which grew by around 14% quarter on quarter, but declined by about 2% on year-on-year basis. Our EBITDA margin for the quarter was 16.4%. The net profit reported was around 37 crores, which grew by 15.2% quarter-on-quarter and increased by 6.9% year-on-year. Our PAT margins for the quarter were 10.67%. For the year ended in March 22, the revenue from operations stood at around 1,153 crores, which grew by around 53% year-over-year. EBITDA growth was flat against previous year at around 205 crores. EBITDA margin for the year stood at 17.77%. The net profit stood at around 128 crores, degrowing by 2.3% year-on-year, and PAT margins for the year stood at around 11.09%. Coming to the operational highlights, both Q4 FY22 and the financial year ending in March 22 had good top-line growth on a year-on-year and quarter-on-quarter basis, owing to the higher prices as well as volume addition on account of PAP ramp-up. The raw material prices and market volatility continue to remain under pressure due to the geopolitical situation. On our capex front, PAP ramp-up continues to be on track, and we have now achieved a production of 300 plus metric tons per month, while OAP and pharma intermediate projects both are on track with no significant delays. OAP phase 1 trial run has been successful, and both OAP and pharma intermediate plants expected to commence production from quarter 2 FY23. In FY22, the direct and deemed exports together accounted for 14% in Q4 and 16% for the full year. With this, we can now open the floor to Q&A session. Thank you. Hello.
Yes, sir, you can proceed.
So I'm done with my, we can open the floor for Q&A.
Thank you so much. Ladies and gentlemen, we will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on the touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. In the interest of time and fairness to all participants, please restrict questions to two per participant. Our first question is from the line of Bhavik with Arihant Capital. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hello.
Mr. Bhavik, you can proceed with your question.
Yes. So my question is, I wanted to know about operational efficiency on the PAP production.
So on the PAP production, like I said, we are on the ramping up stage. As far as the batch process is concerned, which high capacity would be, at full capacity would be around 500 tons per month. We are already at 300 tons per month, so that is our right now. So we are almost there as far as the batch process is concerned. Once the continuous process begins, we will ramp up that as well, but that should... that is subject to the trial runs and stability of the product of continuous process. We are expecting probably in the second half of the year to have some better improvements on that, on the continuous product.
Okay. Because as far as I recollect, during the AGM, it was mentioned that the PAP production, the inefficiency which was going on, would get resolved by Q4 FY22.
Correct. So that the the problem that we were facing on the stability of the product, so that is resolved. So we are now ramping up pretty quickly. If you see our Q3, we were only at around 150 to 200 tons per month. We've now crossed 300. And in this quarter, current quarter, and by next quarter, we'll reach to 500 also.
Okay. So the maximum production capacity is 500 tons per month, right?
In the batch process. Once we start with the continuous process, that will increase.
Okay. All right. And on the borrowing front, I have noticed that a significant amount of borrowing has been increased during this quarter. So closing FY22, and if I compare that with FY21, so are we on a comfortable stage if you look at the debt versus equity, or are you planning to minimize it?
Yeah, so on a debt-to-equity ratio, we are still at 25%. So that is a comfortable position currently. Having said that, you're correct, we have taken some long-term loans for the capex of our pharma intermediates project. Apart from that, there are some short-term loans which we've also taken due to the working capital cycle to maintain that. Given the current scenario, our working capital requirements have increased. So that is the reason. So short-term loans will get reduced, and we are actually not looking at any further term loans, at least in near future. So all of this will begin to decline as in how the repayments happen.
Okay. All right. That's it from my side. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Parthiv with Fracom Stock Brokers Private Limited. Please go ahead.
Thank you, sir, for taking my question. So my question comes from the cash flow statement. What I witnessed is a very alarming rate of trade receivable, and as a result of which our net cash generation from the operating activity has gone negative. And historically, this is a very rare phenomenon I've never witnessed in Valiant, this happening. Could you explain me the rationale, what has went wrong, and what are we doing to rectify this?
So there are two reasons for this, our sales have increased significantly, so with that our debtors have increased also. So that has an impact on the cash flow, which the period, credit period, is about 60 to 90 days. So whatever increase in PAT happened, mainly that all are coming into the debtor side as of March, and our ramp up also happened in Q4. So those are the key reasons why the debtors increase. That was one reason, and second is we try to streamline our payables also. So we've reduced our payables significantly, if you see. So that reduction in payables and increase in debtors that have caused our operating to get a little impacted, and it's become negative. Having said that, With time, this will also, once PAP comes up and the cash PAP also starts, this will improve. So as of March, it does look a little alarming, but rest assured, it's not a situation that is very alarming for the management as of
now. Very nice. And so now, coming back on the margins, even if I look at the standalone margins, as compared to the previous commentary from your end, it was more understood that there is a quarterly lag in terms of the pass-through. And even if I monitor the phenol prices, I understand there will be other raw materials as well. But there is no scope of improvement in our margins. In fact, we're deteriorating quarter on quarter. So are we at a trot, or what is your sense? Where are we headed starting from quarter one FY23?
Yes, you're right. So earlier, up until when we were in January, we definitely felt that we are at the peak of the pricing. But then because of the whole war situation, things didn't really improve as we had expected. Our phenol prices have also increased quarter on quarter. Our Q4 also increased by about 5% on phenol price if I just compare December to March. So phenol prices have increased. other prices, where our other key raw materials, which is PNCB, ONCB, they have also were at a peak in January, February. March have little stabilized, but having said that, Q4, almost half of Q4 have gone with the higher prices. So the margin squeeze is continued in quarter four, which we were expecting to have some relief, but because of the war situation that increased, along with that, then that is on the raw material side, along with that, freight increase, power costs increase, so all of those costs also added to our overall margin dip. Again, now things do seem to be stabilizing. So probably the quarter now, Q1 will have some improved margins, and going forward will continue to improve if the war scenario kind of stabilizes. You know, that is something which is market-driven and even we don't have any control on.
Is it safe to understand that, you know, maybe because of some competitive intensity or maybe some competitors' chlorophenol capacities would have come on stream, we are not getting that pricing power that we used to previously? And also, despite the quarterly lag in terms of the pass-through, yet we are not seeing any sort of green shoots in the margins. So I understand there's a war situation, but there have been companies which have been in a position to improve their quarter-on-quarter margins, you know. So by when can we expect some sort of normalcy, and what would be your band of normal margins that, you know, you'd be happy with?
So to your first part of the question, as far as chlorophenol competition is concerned, I don't think that is the situation. It's not really that. Our sales have increased, so that is not the problem. The problem is mainly coming from phenol prices as well as the other expenses. Like I said, freight and export expenses have increased, and so that is the reason. But it will get passed through. Maybe Q4, Q1, you will see some betterment there. We were expecting Q4, but unfortunately it didn't. Q1 probably will be better.
Okay. And the last question is regarding your PAP realizations currently. And also, sir, you mentioned that in H2, probably you will start working on the continuous process. Can I assume that in H2 you will be ready with the continuous process, or in H2 you will make an attempt to do the continuous process so as to assume that maybe you will take another 6 months for you to kind of stabilize on the continuous process, and maybe any fruit coming out of continuous process you will see in FY24, not FY23. Is my assumption correct?
We are already working towards the erection part of the continuous process, so that is happening. In H2, we will start with process, as an experiment, whether the product is stabilizing, the problems that we face in batch, are we facing the same trouble in continuous. So that is the thing that we will kind of work upon. If all go well, yes, there will be some bit of revenue addition on continuous basis, but on a conservative basis, we are guiding that the continuous process can probably add full value in FY24.
Fine. Thank you so much, sir. All the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Parim Gala with Sage One Investments. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, Mihir. Thanks. First question is, our short-term and long-term debt consolidated for FY22 is about 350 crores. And the finance cost in the P&L is about 6.5 crores. So, can you explain that?
We're looking at the consolidated figures, correct? Yes. What has happened, our subsidiary company, which was Radiant Laboratories, was earlier a partnership firm. That got converted to limited. And because of that, the partner's capital has ended up in a short-term borrowing part, which is the unsecured debt. So that is why that number seems high, but the interest paying is only on the actual short-term loan that we've taken, not on the unsecured loan.
No, so how does this anomaly get corrected?
I will have to look into that. We are right now, we probably work something around as to how this partner capital will be looked and be handled. But as of now, it's under the unsecured.
You have to assume that for the next year, till you don't correct this, you'll be paying interest finance cost on this entire 350 crores?
No, no, that's what I said. We are not, it's not interest there. The partnership capital which has gone into unsecured loan, that is not interest. That is interest free.
Okay. So that's
okay. So we are paying interest finance costs on the actual debt only that we have taken, which standalone you will get that figure in.
Meen, what is the actual consolidated debt right now?
Standalone is 128 crores long term term debt, and on the subsidiary side there is no term loan, so there is no debt at all. It's only the unsecured part. And 52, just give me one sec, if I have to combine the two. So combined short term, long term would be about 128 plus other 127 crores.
That is on the standalone, you say?
Now the standalone, there is no debt in the subsidiary. So on consolidation, there is no debt. It's only that unsecured part which is coming.
Okay. And last question from my side, again bookkeeping. Our capital work in progress has shot up drastically from 45 crore to 110 odd. Can you just explain that? Is it all the capex related? And if it is so, then can you give me the breakup? Because 110 looks to be a very large number.
Yeah, sure. So out of that 110, about 53 crores or 55 crores is my pharma intermediate project, where the budget is about 60 crores. We have taken about 55 crores in that. It's not commercialized, so that is forming a part of CWIP. Apart from that, there is OAP project also, which we have not commercialized. So about is another big portion, on the somewhere around 30 crores. And so that comes to 50-90 crores there. And then the balance is PNM, small reactors that we do for our other plants. So it forms a part of that.
Okay. And last one, again, Mihir, there were certain issues with regards to the state government in the handling of HCL after one episode happened with one company. And I believe we also have it as a byproduct. So have we addressed that issue?
We are taking care of HCL, and slowly the environment, you know, standards are getting stringent day by day. But anyway, we are doing as per the law, so we don't have to worry about it.
No worry, sir, I understand, but I'm saying if we are not able to dispatch that entire thing, storage capacities I'm sure would be limited at the plant, so then, you know, it might impact our manufacturing.
Yeah, if it's correct, what you're saying is right. At present, we are facing some little bit problem for the lifting of HCL, but I think within next 10 to 12 days, it will be sorted out.
Okay, thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Srishti Jain with Monarch Capital Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi. So my one question was on the fact that growth in this quarter has mainly been realization driven. As you know, if you compare QOQ, there's been a volume decline across our chemistries. Is there a reason why we've seen volume decline? Is competition from China increasing?
Sorry, you were saying that there's a volume decline?
Yeah, quarterly, Q1.
I think that would be marginal because it's a, in fact, TAP volume increase, so it is for volume realization also, it's not purely price realization. In fact, I think we just want to check again.
Okay, sure, sir, I'll do that. And on the price increase front, are we able to do that because the realizations have been on the rise?
Sorry, can you repeat?
You know, are we being able to pass on the price increase? What kind of reaction are we getting? Are we being, you know, able to negotiate?
Yeah, so I think on the price realization right now, there's no problem. We are, it is business as usual. So it's not something that we face trouble either upward or downward. The impact, the growth has come from volume itself of PAP, and others have remained more or less at par.
Sure, sir.
So, there is also volume, there is also growth from our subsidiary company which has been, right? So that paracetamol also grew quite much in Q4. So again, that was also volume growth and not really price growth.
Understood, sir. Sir, and on the receivable front, continuing from like one of the participants, you actually elaborated on the fact that working capital days are higher because of our, you know, some of the PAP products which have been, which have been sold to the market. So are we currently selling it to the market? Because I was, because we could also sell it to our subsidiary.
We're doing both. About 80-85% is to the subsidiary, but we are also selling in the market.
So the, if that's the case, then our receivable days shouldn't be that high, right?
Yeah, but all that receivable has happened in the month of Jan, Feb, correct? So as of March, it comes as, it's not due, but it's still there. It comes on the balance sheet. Because all that the jump of growth has come only in Q4 from the PAT side, and it is, even though it is to the subsidiary, we still have our credit days that are there. So those, that is constant for all our customers. So we do it at arm's length. So even they receive the same similar days credit period.
Understood, sir. That really helps. Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Ankur S. with Kosa Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi, thanks. Just one question. I was just going through the presentation. On page 14, in the chlorination slide, obviously because of the capacity ramp up, I have been seeing an increase in volume. However, the revenues have been constantly declining. Is that a mistake or if you can explain that?
Which slide? I'm on
14. Slide number 14, chlorination. So volumes for 9 months FY22 are 12,245 metric tons.
For 9 months, you're seeing the previous. You're seeing the Q quarter three. Presentation. Updated, which talked about the Q4 and full year.
Okay, so there are no volume details given in the quarter four presentation. Okay. Even if it is from the quarter three presentation, but the volumes have been gradually increasing, but the revenues have been declining. So especially in a price or a RM inflationary environment, so it was just a simple question that is that a mistake or actually the realizations on chlorophenol are declining?
No, there is in fact no decline. I think you're just probably reading it differently. Our volumes have also increased and our realization has also increased. So, and chlorination definitely has increased. There is no problem there.
Okay, so I'm just reading out the numbers. So, FY20, the volume was 10,500 metric tons. FY21, the volume was 12,234 metric tons. And 9 months FY22, it was 12,245. And likewise, revenues for FY20 were 219 crores, FY21 213 crores, and 9 months FY22 198 crores. This is from your presentation.
So now I'm on Q3 presentation, and I am seeing chlorination also have increased in revenue from 539 to 730, and also my volume has increased from 4,000 metric tons, 4,000 tons to 4,300 tons of chlorination.
Okay, no worries. I'll take this offline maybe. Second question, maybe it is a misunderstanding. The second question is on the fact, Mahek and Meer, like, it has been, you know, obviously commendable that finally we got a breakthrough in the product and everything. But like, you know, the juice is going to be in the ramp up and the continuous plant, because like, you know, in batch production, like I mentioned, it is going to be up to 500 metric ton per month. So you know, what are the type of challenges that you all are facing? And on the second part, like on batch production, are the margins at good levels, or they are like at okay levels? And what would be the difference if we run the plant at continuous production vis-a-vis the batch production? Like, can you just explain us the margin difference?
So on the patch side, on the batch side, so the problem that we were facing, that problem is behind us now. So so we are now moving forward with the positive outcome, and we are crossing. Last month was a little lower, this month was higher. We crossed 300. We are expecting to reach 400 and 500 by in next couple of months. So that problem has been resolved. Coming to the continuous side, we will be implementing the same process that we've done for batch, but where, you know, these are chemistries, there are a lot of technical factors that come in. So we are just being cautious on the fact that from day one, we may not get the product that we want. We may face some trouble. And when that trouble is faced, we'll also try and rectify the way we rectified our batch process. But we are not very... we're not too negative on that, because we've already resolved the batch process problem. So that is the point on continuous. Coming to margins, we as such don't analyze margins on product level, but this being a new plant at a new plant being operational, so we do have some idea. The margins will not be as high as what we have for our erstwhile products like chloroquinol. But having said that, it's not meager also. It will be somewhere in the range of 18 to 20% kind of margins if all the market dynamics are corrected. Right now that will be much lower because we are still there are fixed costs that are there which is getting loaded on the lower product. But once the production comes in, we are expecting that the margins will be in that 18 to 20% range on a full scale basis. Coming to batch, difference between batch and continuous, once we are on the continuous side, our production capacity will be somewhere around 900 to 1000 tons per month, which is right now at 500 tons per month.
Okay, and like, what's this plant particularly planned in this manner, that we start with batch and then we'll go to continuous? Like, was that the original plan, or the real plan was to start with continuous, it didn't work, then we went to batch, and then we solved the problems, and now we are going to the continuous? Like, if you can just give an idea on that.
So we had planned for continuous, no doubt we did, but the problem that we were facing of the color first and then the stability, we had to do process changes which we had to take in. Because of that process changes, certain things changed where right now is only happening through batch and then continue. Whatever changes were made for batch, re-engineering needs to happen for but initially we were looking at continuous only, but due to the changes we switched to batch.
Okay. Thanks. All the best.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Sanjay Singh with ICICI Securities. Please go ahead.
Yeah, good afternoon. This is Sanjay Singh from ICICI Securities. Thanks for taking my question. Couple of them. First, on the margin. Mihir, you made a comment on the PAT margin, telling that right now it's lower. It's puzzling to understand that because 625 rupees is an average selling cost on the PAT. 225 is a PNP cost. That leaves us to, if I add some more raw material here and there, we will still be upwards of 65% gross profit margin on the PAT, which should have translated into a margin improvement sequentially, even if we have assumed the remaining product doesn't have any improvement in the margin, though it should have, because we were talking of some price increase action being taken there. Can you help us reconcile both the thing and help us understand in a holistic way why the margins are so low?
PAT 620, if you take an average, 625 was there are our average pricing would right now in fact is not as much as 625. That has also come down to somewhere around 600 or 590. But having said that, there are fixed costs, right? So our plant was designed earlier to run the continuous process at 1,000 tons per month. Then because of the issues, we had to move to batch. Like I said with the earlier question, we had to move, we had to do that. But our fixed costs remained. Our labor costs, our contracts, personnel, everything is there. So those are the costs that overall get loaded onto this. So our realization per kg on PAP is lower right now. Plus there is depreciation cost which is also there.
Mihir, just to understand here, I was more looking from the gross profit margin. I can understand the fixed cost and all, but this is about the gross profit margin. Why it has sequentially dipped by 300 basis points while there is a PAP which would have actually added to the margin significantly?
I can get into the detail here and we can speak again later, but I don't have the numbers on the per kg per product right now available, so I'm not able to comment, but right now the margins are lower on PAP, so that is true, but I need to figure out what exactly is adding up over here, because like you said, PNCB prices that you mentioned and compared to the selling price, but let me get back to you on this.
Okay, that means, so and the second point is on quarter sequentially. If I remove PAP, okay, that means we have hardly grown anything in terms of volume. It has actually dipped and there is some increase in the realizations on a sequential basis, even if I take out the PAP. Now, despite that and adjusted to the PAP, the gross margins looks like have shrunk a lot. Again, your gross profit numbers are really unconsolable. It would be really helpful if you can help us understand why gross margins were so weak.
Like I said, I have to get into the depth of it, but our main reason, which I also I think I spoke about in the first question, that our prices of raw material were peaked at in January and February. And then coming down in the second half of Feb and March. Our inventory is at a higher price and our stock that gets valued in a FIFO basis is at the lower side. So that gives an impact to our raw material cost going up. So that's the main and only reason of raw material, phenol going up, PNCB at its peak, ONCB at its peak. So that is the reason why our gross margins look the way they are.
So how many months raw material do we maintain? That's number one. Number two, when you say peak in January, February, and then talk about the inventory, that again doesn't reconcile.
I will let me do that math. Very honestly, I've not done a month over month math, and at least not product wise. I can get back to you on that, but raw material pricing, which is the fluctuation, that is the reason for our gross product. But having said that, let me get into this.
Okay. So let's look at what's happening on the Q1 and Q2, when you mentioned that these things will normalize, should we again hit a normalized margin of upwards of 35%? Considering the raw material is higher, so 40+ is not possible. That's purely a mathematical. But a 35% plus kind of a gross profit margin and a 20% plus kind of an EBITDA margin is achievable by Q2. Is that a fair understanding? And we also have a tailwind of raw material now, at least on the phenol side of it.
So on EBITDA side, it will still take time to achieve that margin. And also, the previous years, we didn't have this many products, right? We did not have PAP, we did not have PA, OA. So it was mainly chlorophenol business which had the great margin. But as and how other products came in, you see that our margins would have, subsided to that extent. Coming to upwards of 35, I'm not very sure that it would reach that level, but we are saying that somewhere around 30% gross margin and about 22% EBITDA margin is achievable in near future. But on a stabilized basis, we do try to achieve around 25.
Okay, let me ask you in a different way. We have done an incremental capex of 400 crore, probably another 100-150 crores of investment in the working capital. So the total investment is close to 550 crore. Is that the right understanding?
Correct.
And if you have a threshold of 20% on a 550 crore, that means from FY21 level, the EBIT should go up by at least 100-150 crores. Is that a fair understanding? That means by FY23 or probably FY24 with another 100 crores of capex capitalization, we should cross that 300-320 crores of EBIT to maintain a 20% ROC. Will that be a fair assumption?
On a percentage basis, what does that come to?
20-22% kind of an ROC.
Yeah, by FY24, I think that is a fair assumption. Because market is very volatile, I'm in a very difficult situation to confirm these numbers because we don't know what's next. In January, we thought Q4 would be very good, but then the war happened. Now Q1, things look good, but I don't know how they are going to translate. But FY24, we can safely assume that things will stabilize and we will come to those margins.
And until and unless we are now stabilizing all those things, we are not venturing into any more big capex, right?
No, not anything big, yeah.
Okay, thank you. Just one minute last question, sorry for pressing on it. On the shareholding pattern, can you help us understand there is certain shareholder even within the public shareholding domain which looks like more on a promoter side. Will you help us understand what is the shareholding of the promoter and promoter related between what is categorized as promoter and non-promoter in your shareholding?
Promoter group is around 39, so around 39 point something, around 40% is that, and the others, this happened because of the amalgamation of the two entities. So they were not a part. So the promoter group is what the Valiant Organic was originally, but with the amalgamation, they were not in the promoter group. So they were in the investor group. And if I combine all of that, it comes to I don't have the exact number, but it comes to around 56-60%.
Got. Thank you. I will look forward for your gross profit margins. Thank you.
Yes. Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Punit Mittal with Global Core Capital. Please go ahead.
Hi, just two questions. One is that the previous participant was asking about the chlorinization products. And it seems that your realization, if you look at per metric ton, has come down dramatically from FY20 to FY22. And so even though your volume and revenue has increased, but the realization per metric ton has come down dramatically year-on-year for last two, 3 years. So if you can explain on that. And second question is on the PAP. Once you have the full capacity utilization, how much would you be using for captive consumption for the subsidiary? And what percentage are you planning to sell in the market?
So captive consumption is directly what Valiant Laboratories will be making. So we are looking at least catering to 85% of our entire production to captively get used, and the balance can be sold in the market. And on the first question, I'm very sorry if you could just briefly again ask.
On the chlorinization, your realization on a per metric ton basis has come down year-on-year since FY20.
Yes.
So even though your volume. Yeah.
Correct. So we increased our production volume-wise also, right? So last couple of years. So with that increase, in order to attain or gain the market share and become competitive with China, we do have to become aggressive with our pricing. So that is where some bit of per kg realization dip we have to take in order to break into the market and the new clients. So that is why the dip. But that also would be marginal. I'm not too sure it would be very significant.
Okay, but going forward, do you see again having an uptick, or do you think this is where the prices would stay?
It can be considered as stable prices.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Pranay Jain with Dealwell Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks for the opportunity. Just wanted a sense on what are the volumes we are penciling across our chemistries, chlorination, hydrogenation, monolysis, and others overall. Let's say if you can split it into first half and second half of the year, because there will be meaningful addition from the latter half.
So as far as chlorination, monolysis is concerned, they are steady-state businesses, so the volume will remain more or less similar. Not much movement there. In terms of hydrogenation, PAP is where the additions will come in. Those numbers I already discussed. We are looking at, we are at 300. We are looking at reaching 500 in the first half. So that addition of volume will come in hydrogenation. Apart from that, OAP and pharma intermediate, both are projects. So pharma intermediate will fall under others. But our OAP is again hydrogenation, which will slowly ramp up. So not much movement. I would say it could start at as low as 10-20 tons per month in Q2, and then slowly getting ramped up to Q3 to come to 50-60 tons per month.
So, I mean, if I just look at your investor presentation and approximately there's 50,000 MT volume this year. You're saying chlorination or monolysis will be more or less same, which is about 29,000 MT. So you're not really penciling much higher numbers on that side. For hydrogenation and others, if you just add up, compared to 50,000 overall, what would you be penciling for FY23?
Again, I'll have to kind of do that. Just give me 1 second. Say hydrogenation together for the whole year, FY23, we could be somewhere around 30,000 tons. That includes PAP. PAP and OAP.
Okay. So from 50,000 overall, are you penciling around
the others I'm not really taking into consideration because that others also form is a part of Ahmedabad unit which has gone into redevelopment. So in fact there will be some drop in that others volume which will only come online at the later half of this year.
So 60,000 MT would be a realistic estimate for the year then?
For the year 60,000, yeah, should be fair, 60-65,000.
And in terms of whatever variables you see, I understand it's a dynamic situation, but nonetheless, given how prices stand today and whatever variance you generally see in business, sequentially, what is the margin trajectory that you would be looking at? And again, I am asking for a realistic sense, not an optimistic one. From, say, sub 17% in Q4, what should we look at in the next two or three quarters?
I think Q1 probably would be again a phase of stabilization. So let's say on a conservative basis, we continue to remain at around 18%. Q2 could move a little upward due to, assuming that things become fine geopolitically and all the freight costs and, the other expenses kind of level out. In that case, then we can be somewhere around 20% on a realistic figure in near term. But again, very difficult to judge. I mean, you said not to be optimistic, but that's the only way I can put in. Otherwise, I will have to say that we'll be where we are.
And with regards to debt levels, what is the trajectory for this year and next? What are the levels that you're looking at?
So debt, we are not looking at any new borrowings in terms of long term. Our capex will probably be will get internally funded only. So no new debt is going to come up. Of course, there will be some bit of short term with regards to working capital requirement that can keep fluctuating. But as such, no major movement in the debt.
So what is the term debt level reduction you anticipate by next year?
We start to repay. We are already repaying on two of our big loans, which started last year. And the new loan that we have taken, our repayments begin from December.
So, yeah, I was just looking for an indicative number from Q4 end. What do you see that reading by Q4 of next year?
Okay, give me one second. Again, I'll have to just look into that. So from our 128 crore of long-term debt, we'll probably be somewhere around 90-95 crores by the end of next year.
Okay, that's helpful. And working capital also, you believe that number would ease since you said that whatever receivables they are, they shouldn't really go over to you and you expect it to be collected within normal time.
Correct. I think from my understanding, we are already at the peak. It will only improve from now. So our working capital requirement also with whatever little fluctuation will only fold over. We are not intending to do any higher loans as of now.
Yeah. So that was it. If you put all of this together, this is just my last question. I'll get back in the queue after that. What is the operating cash flow number that you are looking at presently for this year?
I don't have that ready. I'm sorry. I won't be able to answer that.
Okay. All right. Thanks.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Vaibhav Katolia with VK Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity, sir. Sir, I didn't get that number. In terms of total volume, you said 60,000 to 65,000 tons?
Oh, we are looking at as a whole year estimate.
Okay, got that. And sir, hydrogenation would be lower margins than the company overall, since most of the growth will be coming in hydrogenation side?
Yes, to an extent it is.
Okay, got that. And sir, this year, the others category, the volume has come down. So, any reason? And is that contributing to the reduction in our overall total profitability? I'm not concerned about the margin, because that is because of raw material prices or whatever. But is the other-
Others, I mentioned, the Ahmedabad unit is going through redevelopment.
Yeah.
So that is the reason why there is a dip in that.
Yeah.
Having said that, of course, it will have some impact on our total profitability, but it's a small plant, so that impact will not be major. So when you look at volumes, yes, you will see that volume coming down, but in terms of impact, it's still a smaller plant as such that contributes.
Okay. Okay, understood. And sir, on a per ton profit basis, so do we expect things to stabilize and improve by FY24? Or, should we assume that, since hydrogenation is lower margins, so should we assume that the 23 trend will continue into 24, or will there be uptick at some stage?
No, there could be uptake, because pharma intermediates may have better per kg realization. PAP may reduce. So PAP right now, again, the prices are volatile, right? So if I look
Right.
at my current pricing, in that case, my per kg will be higher, but we don't know at what level it is going to stabilize.
Right.
So on that aspect, it is difficult. So on a per kg basis, it may still improve, because we have other products, even OAP, which is a smaller capacity, but that per kg contribution will be better than PAP. So we are expecting it to improve, if not, you know, it will probably stay same, if not go down, but we are looking at improvements from FY24.
Okay. And for chlorination this year, profit per kg was at a equal level, or it was higher, or?
It was probably lower because our volumes increased, so we did get aggressive on our pricing. And because of the market situation also, we had to, you know, in order to continue with the business, we had to get aggressive. So it might be a little lower per kg.
So this year,
phenol prices every quarter were increasing by at least 5% to 10%.
Right. So, sir, that was made up by hydrogen and ammonia chemistries this year, largely?
Sorry, what was made up by that?
The profitability which came down on chlorination was made up by hydrogen and ammonia chemistries at absolute levels?
No, chlorination still was higher, even with the reduced per kg.
Okay. Right, got that. Okay, thank you so much.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Bhavik Shah. Sorry, it's from the line of Dhaval Shah with Swan Investment. Please go ahead.
Hello. Hi. Sir, couple of questions. First is on this PAP front. So you mentioned the quality, just reconfirm, the quality issues are behind. Did I understand it right?
Yes.
Okay. So now, so we are among the few companies in India who would be producing PAP, right? So apart from us, there would be how many other companies?
So there is one company that does. There are two companies that actually started, but they are using it captively. There is Panoli, I guess, who is there in the market.
Okay.
But apart from that, Ekmani is also there, but I think that also is captive, majorly captive, Ekmani. Apart from that, as and when other players come in, but right now it's just these two.
Okay. And how confident you would be to ramp up your production to 1,000 tons per month? By when?
We have been conservative and saying that it will probably take by the end of this year.
23. Okay.
at the end of 23, but we are doing our best. It comes online earlier than it is.
Okay, and what's and if you could tell us in percentage terms, what sort of reduction in the conversion cost is there once at 1,000 tons per month?
No, I don't have that number for you.
So it's like, for example, if at currently at 300 tons, your cost of conversion is 100 rupees. So what it would be, you know, because, you know, at a large scale, at a continuous processing, just want to understand what is the benefit of continuous processing.
Right. So I don't have that ready.
All right. No problem, sir. We'll take it offline. And, sir, you still stand by the guidance given in our earlier conversation regarding around 35-40% growth for next year and then 15-20% growth for the year after that for 2 years?
Yeah, so we are expecting to close somewhere around 1,200-1,250 FY23 and then about somewhere around 1,400 FY24 on a standalone basis. So this is what our assumption is. As of
okay.
Now, if continuous comes in, then that will just be additional.
Okay. So on the continuous side, so once you are at 500, how much would be captive, and at 1,000, how much would be captive?
You can consider an 85-15% as a.
Acha. Okay. And and what are the pricing currently for the subsidiaries product? Paracetamol, and then what is the pricing of PAP right now?
Pricing of PAP is somewhere around 600. Pricing of paracetamol is around 650. I'm not 100% sure of paracetamol, but somewhere around 650.
Okay. Got it, sir. Thank you. Yeah.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, in the interest of time and fairness to participants, please limit questions to 2 per participant. Our next question is from the line of Saurav with AMSAC. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. So just one thing on the PAP volumes. So what was the PAP volumes for FY22? And the 18-20% margin guidance which you mentioned, so at what level of production that is achievable, and at what price you are building it?
So the volume of PAP in FY22 was around 1900, and the margin that currently we had for PAP is somewhere around EBITDA margin of about 10-12%, but it will improve once the scaling up happens. Because there are, again, certain costs that are just right now getting loaded on a very small volume.
So at 500-600 per month, then that you will be able to make that 15-18% range?
Sorry, you'll have to repeat, I didn't get it.
Yeah, so I'm saying at the 500-600 ton per month, that 15-16% margin is achievable? Or still higher volumes will be required?
No, I think 15% margin is achievable once we are at 500, and then once we move into continuous, it will improve further.
Okay, and so just one more on the CAPEX side. So what would be number for 23?
Sorry, what is the number for?
CAPEX.
This year we are still under discussion what major movements that we are doing, which management is still under discussing that. But apart from that, we still see a capex of around 60-70 crores, which will be more or less the Ahmedabad redevelopment, then some bit of pharma intermediates also, which will have some bit of addition to that. And then PAP, for the moving to continuous, we'll have to do some further capex, so that will form a part of it. Apart from that, others is more or less business as usual.
Okay, thank you, and all the best.
Thank you.
Thank you. Our next question is from the line of Manoj Kumar, an investor. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi.
Hi.
I have a question regarding the share price of the stock, because it is declining from the last 3 years.
Sorry.
And, hello, can you hear me?
Yeah, can you start over?
Yeah, yeah. I have invested in this company from last 2 to 3 years.
Yeah.
But looking at the fundamental, this company seems fundamentally very strong and looks in profit. Then what is the main reason why this stock is undervalued?
I think there are a couple of reasons or perceptions, I would say, why this is happening. One thing is the global situation. So what prices are currently ongoing, I think you should keep that out of it, because it could be a lot of other factors also apart from the company specific. But apart from that, I think it could be the perception that people have in the market on our PAP or something. But to be very honest, we don't comment on stock. As such, we can comment on the business, but stock movement is something which is very market-driven. So,
okay.
Unfortunately, I'm able to give any further info on this.
Okay, fine.
Ladies and gentlemen, that was the last question for today. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Mihir Shah for closing comments.
Thank you all for participating in this earnings call. I hope we were able to answer your questions satisfactorily and at the same time offer insights into our business. If you have any further questions or would like to know more about the company, please reach out to our investor relations manager at Valorem Advisors. Thank you. Stay safe. Stay healthy.
Thank you. On behalf of Monarch Network Capital, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us, and you may now disconnect your lines.
Thank you, everybody. Thank you.